You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
I think college football is still fine. College basketball decimated. College football, as long as you are the richest athletic department in the country, is still cool, which happens to be my preferred university, University of Texas. High school football will never die as long as you're in Texas.
So that's fine. But the NIL, right, was this is atrocious. And the transfer window. It's so fucking funny that the president is talking about this. Just make them a minor league.
I mean, I think that it's going to like a farm system type thing. We were talking about that earlier, actually, about how smaller schools are, you have to adjust and find a niche. It's like, hey, our role is going to be, we're going to take the backups from Penn State that didn't get any playing time. We were talking about wrestling in particular. They're going to come here. They're going to have a great year. We're going to pay them 10 grand. And then they're going to make $500,000 somewhere else. It's going to make our program like the program that you got to come to. It's totally different from what college sports have always been, but I think they're going to figure it out.
I think this is like kind of problematic for Bitcoiners in particular, because like you want Bitcoin to be at least somewhat relatable to like normcore, and like sports ball is a big part of that. Yeah. But like when you look into the way tax dollars are deployed to support all college, but also like new stadiums and like the nonprofit status of the NFL, it's pretty antithetical, I would say, to Bitcoiners' ethos to be into sports. Like, it's fucking bad.
Why am I good to sports?
College across, yeah.
Hasn't been determined by the NIL yet.
Listen, Libby Dunn, though, it do be having benefits.
Her husband is crushing it.
He's really good. Yeah.
He's insane. The
That's what I was, the one pro sport, like,
coincidentally enough, the next day, the parade is when Satoshi launched a white paper.
No,
so
shit. Like,
yeah. Wow. So I was running around Broad Street as a 17-year-old, not knowing that Satoshi was going to change my life.
Wow.
I used to be horribly, horribly addicted to baseball. I love baseball. The Yankees completely broke my heart with the new stadium. It's a very terrible, complicated relationship now. Yeah. Like, they absolutely just decimated my like favorite thing.
Citizens Bank Park, one of the best stadiums in all
the
sports.
Pirates.
It's a great one too.
Pirates Stadium is amazing.
Does that make it more or less likely that Satoshi is a Philadelphian and was a, I mean, Freedom, obviously.
Yeah, Freedom.
But like, would he have been too hungover to launch Bitcoin?
He was talking about Trank a lot.
Maybe, yeah. But go back to the BitcoinTalk.org early days. There was Trank brought up quite a bit. Kidding. We're working on that, Tom. We're working on that.
Similarly,
we're good?
Growing up, diehard Rangers fan, watched, like 60 plus games a year with my dad. And they just,
is this Texas or New
Texas,
York?
Texas Rangers.
Okay. The lesser Rangers.
Yes. Yeah. Broke my heart in 2011, 2012, those back to back World Series that they lost in game 7.
Yeah.
And I just haven't been
able to. CJ on the team back then?
I think he was a couple years before then. Okay. But yeah, that was.
He was Angels?
It still just blows my mind.
He was Angels and Rangers.
It's like a Angels and Rangers. Friend of mine.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I remember like watching CJ on TV. And I remember we went to pull those that one time. And I sat down. I was sitting next to CJ Wilson. I was like, holy fuck, this is CJ Wilson. Like, oh my God.
He was a Golden Glover one year, wasn't he?
Yeah. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You're here and you're cool. And
can I get a lease? I do.
We're getting into a subject that, what are your thoughts on sports ball?
Yeah, I was the best person to ask.
You're all in this just extended daycare universe. Mental daycare. What sports do I watch? Thank you for asking. Olympic rowing.
Winklevoss twins.
Yeah,
Winklevoss twins.
Yeah.
Last sporting event I cared
they
about.
They were good.
You knew their splits their senior year at Harvard.
Dude, they actually founded the rival rowing club to my rowing club, mainly because my rowing club was too jank for them.
Philly's a great rowing city.
I've rowed there many a time. The Schuylkill. Thomas Aikens, really, the American realist painter, one of the greatest American artists. His subjects were nearly, well, I would say they were predominated by rowers.
Yeah.
Everybody's cracking up in the background.
If you don't know Thomas Akins, the joke is on you.
Yeah,
you're uncultured. You're right. Unironically unaware of American art if you don't know Thomas Akins.
Christian's parents.
Somewhere. You know what I found out?
That's right.
You know what I found out? My boys go to a Catholic school in the area. And it's probably got a docks where they go to school. So maybe I shouldn't. But like Norman Rockwell used to work out of it.
Rockwell, man.
Yeah. I thought he was Chicago.
I think he traveled a lot, but
yeah.
He had
that awesome.
He's got the meme, the man standing up.
Standing up.
Very brave.
Yeah.
What's a Norman Rockwell feeling that you have right now about the world?
Well, actually, if you guys look at the thumbnails on TFTC, every prompt I put into Midjourney is an oil painting in the style of Norman Rockwell. So if you that is the sort of basis for all of our thumbnails.
I'm sorry, I have not been consuming every scrap of AI slop you've thrown my way. Do you write the bent anymore? Yeah.
The bent, yes.
You just you click print every day.
You haven't cheated once with AI for a bent?
No.
That's impressive.
For the bent, no.
I'm not sure I believe it, but keep going.
No, that is artisanal writing there.
That is
from
awesome.
The hands.
I respect that. Yeah. That's amazing.
Can we crafted? I would be interested to see a histogram of bent topics.
We can actually do that.
Someone crunched the numbers on
we talked about it last night. The first bent ever was Mencius Moldbug, please.
Really?
It was on Bitcoin is money, money is a bubble. Money is a bubble, Bitcoin is money. Or
I heard he's Satoshi, actually.
So I wrote a weekly blog when I was at Fidelity for a while. I was writing a weekly blog that was like a network update, like a market update, and then some stuff. And I still am a big fan of
Gray Matter.
Mershu.
Mershu.
Yeah, Trilemma. But a very difficult blog to look through when you're at work, because 80% of it is just on like it's long format blog posts of like obscure like hardcore porn, and there was a randomizer, so I'm like looking for something that he wrote on like Bitcoin, a specific like blog post that I remember, and you have to like go through it, and it's like Brazilian fart porn, it's like, you know, Taiwanese feet, like all this stuff. And one day I got called by IT. It's just like, you need to fucking stop it.
But do you think he's dead? Do you think he's dead?
I hope not. I don't think so. I think that it could be a self-cancellation.
I've surfed that beach he quote unquote died on, Playa Hermosa in Jaco,
yeah,
Costa Rica, and I've probably surfed there 4 or 5 times, and it's like well known in the area. Like it's a heavy short break. Like you don't go in there.
It's dangerous.
He died surfing.
Yeah, yes.
Is the story.
No, I thought he was frolicking in the waves with a bunch of women.
No. Like, he was surfing.
Was he?
Yeah. Oh,
okay, that's more plausible.
And I think that he was learning to surf. I don't think that he was
that's
like
not
a
where you want to learn to surf. Yeah.
Yeah. I will say, rest in peace. I do have an unironic Chad friend, late Chad, who joined the Marines and did die surfing. And he was, you know, he was strapped.
Yeah,
it's a dangerous sport.
What's the I believe it was in Galveston. It was also
Galveston, Texas. That,
yeah, it was in Texas.
Well known for surfing.
Well known.
It was Texas. Well, it was during
a hurricane.
It wasn't. What was the hurricane of 21? Not Saint Irene.
Yeah,
it was.
No,
it,
Irene came up here.
Harvey was the one, I think, where it just like dumped water over Houston for.
I believe, and I apologize if I'm speaking falsehood on his name, but I think he tried to surf the hurricane and perished.
Yeah,
that's when the waves get best.
Sometimes you eat the bar.
That's when the waves get best in Jersey.
The hurricane.
I almost died. Hurricane Dennis, 2009.
Yeah,
peak condition,
man.
Coming off my senior year of lacrosse, summer of surfing, but I ride a longboard. It's like 9 foot.
Oh, was that your saving grace?
No, because I was sir. I mean, Keita, you're laughing, but you know how big the waves can get in September when a hurricane swell comes. I was like 2 hours into a session, just caught a wave. I was like, I got one more in me. Started paddling out, rubber arms. Clean up set comes. I'm on my 9-0. Climbing the peak, crest over me, land on the water 200 yards out, on my backboard on top, leash snaps. I have to like butterfly paddle in.
Bro.
Like almost drowned. Puke on the peak.
The board was the loss.
It just went to the shore. Who's there?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I were a surfer, I would simply not surf during a hurricane.
It's fun,
dude. I think. If you lived next to a pretty low stakes beach, you might be tempted.
Galveston.
Avoiding
Vietnamese shrimp boats.
Good grief.
At San Antonio.
The six foot swells.
Should we talk about Bitcoin at all, or we just have?
Yeah, we could do that.
Why are we here? Dude,
we're here.
We've got an eclectic group here. Let's get back to Galveston.
The best thing about Bitcoin is it's fucking boring and dead. It's over. It's great. I'm the most like Bitcoin, at peace with the world today.
Dude, Bitcoin is just like an NGO topic. It's like freedom tech now. It's over.
Yeah. The Spice is coming back, though. We're here for the OpNext
conference. Spice must flow.
We're at PubKey. The big topic of the day, institutions saying that we're going to be quantum prepared by 2029. Yeah. They're going to make sure.
Dude, I heard that.
Ryan, I was sitting next to you in there. What were your thoughts?
Shut the fuck up.
You know, I'm gonna try and give an honest, charitable interpretation. You know, there were some gentlemen from, you know, various serious financial institutions.
You can name them. It was a live stream.
Yeah, it was like a guy from Coinbase, a guy from Anchorage.
This is the serious
one. Guy from BlackRock. So they were sitting up there and they were talking about like, hey, like our, you know, the whole trade for Bitcoin for these institutions, for institutional investors has been like the asymmetric upside with like, you know, very little downside. And I remember one of my favorite quotes of all time about Bitcoin came from Ross Stevens talking about how he's like, look, if you have an exponential return profile for this asset and you eliminate the chance it goes to zero, like your mean, your average expected return just explodes, right? If the zero is gone, all of a sudden it's, you know, your mean average return is just enormous. And so I think it is fair for these investors to becoming these institutions and be like, hey, like if this quantum thing takes Bitcoin to zero, like all of a sudden my math on where I think it's going to go, like totally changes. Now, like it's not like this is a new topic. Right. This has been baked in. I do not think quantum computers are going to take Bitcoin to zero. So I think it's like a little silly to be worried about. But I do see the argument. And so from these institutions' perspective, they're like, hey, I need something to tell these investors who are, you know, getting a little worried about this. Like Bitcoiners, give me a plan. What's the roadmap? Solana's figuring it out. Like, you know, right. But it's like they don't understand how open source works. They don't understand how Bitcoin works. They're not able to parse through like the various proposals that have come up and see that like there's activity happening and people care about this. They instead are just kind of falling prey to the FUD of like Bitcoin's doomed and it's never going to happen, which is just the same old crypto story that we've been facing forever.
Did you catch the Inglourious Bastards 3 mistake that was made on stage?
No, I didn't.
The Coinbase guy. Number one, he was like, Coinbase is like part of this community. We're like, we would never attack Bitcoin. It's like, all right. And he was referencing the block size wars. He's like, we've been in this for years. Like, well, yeah. What were you guys doing back then? And then he was talking about BIP 361, but he kept referencing it. He's like, yeah, we got BIP 361. It was like, ah.
VIP.
it's like Inglourious Bastards. Like.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, that was, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, I don't envy their job in trying to calm down panicky investors who are like realizing that this, they're like, what do I do? And, you know, like that might be a little bit tough to be like, you should just calm down and like let the Bitcoin community figure it out. Like they're just as invested as you are. And this is all going to be fine. And like there are things happening. But
Chainco's going to figure it out.
Yeah. Chainco's going to figure it out. They have it all written down, right? Roast Beef, you know, wrote a post about it recently. You know, don't really know how I feel about Lop's proposal, but, you know, there's stuff happening. And yeah. that's the groundwork for something, you know, eventually getting merged in.
We're thinking about it.
If it's necessary.
Yeah.
Got the best cryptographers in the world working on Bitcoin. They're going to figure it out.
Are they going to fire the devs, though?
If they've never employed the devs to begin with, can they fire them?
I don't know. This is my panel at the conference. It's
You're
me
reading it, right?
Yeah, I'm moderating. It's me, Eric Voskel, John Attack, and Eric Lombroso. It's going to be, it'll be fun.
What do you think Foscule is going to say about this?
You know exactly what he's going to say about this. John Attack's actually really interesting. Obviously, he was a big, you know, core contributor for a long time, like in the core community. Eric's always been an outsider. And I think Eric and John are going to be the most interesting ones to sort of shed a little bit of light on how things have changed, I would say, in the last like 5 or 6 years, as far as like core, capital C core is concerned. It'll be interesting. I'm probably not going to make a ton of friends with that panel, but it'll be fine.
Sup, freaks. This rip of TFTC was brought to you by our good friends at BitKey. BitKey makes Bitcoin easy to use and hard to lose. It is a hardware wallet that natively embeds into a 2 or 3 multi-sig. You have one key on the hardware wallet, one key on your mobile device, and Block stores a key in the cloud for you. This is an incredible hardware device for your friends and family, or maybe yourself, who have Bitcoin on exchanges and have for a long time, but haven't taken the step to self-custody because they're worried about the complications of setting up a private public key pair, securing that seed phrase, setting up a PIN, setting up a passphrase. Again, BitKey makes it easy to use, hard to lose. It's the easiest 0 to 1 step, your first step to self-custody. If you have friends and family on the exchanges who haven't moved it off, tell them to pick up a BitKey. Go to bitkey.world, use the key TFTC20 at checkout for 20% off your order. That's bitkey.world, code TFTC20.
Sup, freaks? Guess what? Just booked my tickets to Vegas, headed for Bitcoin 2026. It's that time of the year, April 27th to 29th in Las Vegas. I'm going to be there. A ton of people are going to be there. You better get your ass there. You know what? People are calling it bear market. You know, these are the best conferences. I've been going since 2019 when it was in a parking garage in San Francisco. If you want to get the best possible ticket prices, make sure you use our link and the code TFTC. You go to 2026.b.tc. Use the code TFTC. You'll get 10% off. You can bundle with a hotel room to save big and make the most of your experience staying on site at the Venetian. That is where I will be. Ticket prices are increasing, so make sure you get yours today. Join Bitcoiners from all around the world. It's a global endeavor. It's a pilgrimage, if you will, for the ultimate networking experience. There's going to be a ton of people there. You can hear from the biggest names in the industry. Sailor's going to be there. Matt and I and the PubKey boys and the Bugle boys, we're going to have live hot style takeover. That's going to be there too. All in the Venetian. Everybody's meeting up. It's going to be fun. Get there. 2026.b.tc. Use the code TFTC at sign up.
What's Herbert's view on this?
Does Herbert have a view? Do you have post-death views or opinions?
Yeah, Urbit cryptography. we write our own over at Urbit.
Go get one of the books. Can you pass me one of the Urbit books?
Yeah,
out of Hoon.
Give me the Urbit Systems and Technical
the
Journal.
One's on top of the Pac-Man machine. See the cocktail table.
See how many times quantum is in the index there.
Is it in there?
We'll find out. We'll find out.
Thank you.
Herbit
Systems Technical Journal by Christian Yardley.
It's a shame. It's a shame Jake isn't here.
Jake's a great dude.
Jake's a
lot of fun conversations.
Herbit tends to try to figure things out from first principles and implement them as quickly as possible. I don't think Herbit uses elliptic cryptography, as far as I'm aware. So it's not precisely an Urbit concern.
The thing I like the most about Urbit is they are the smartest people on the planet that are also really good natured with how hard you control the fuck out of them for like abject failures and mismanagement of the entire like project. But like there's like a level of intelligence that's just like, yeah, I understand and you're right. However, I'm way smarter than you. So I'm going to keep doing this project.
Nevertheless, she persisted.
I love Urbit.
You know, we're going to keep showing up.
Yeah.
We're older than Bitcoin. Don't forget that.
I just don't understand where the money comes from at this point.
Dude, and Groundwire is even slashing the last remaining grift that Urbit had, which is soft forked the identity layer to include Bitcoin now. So you don't have to rely on Ethereum, and the scarce Ethereum namespace is no longer, the the motivating monetization for the project. So we'll be running on donations from here on out and goodwill toward men.
That's pretty cool. That's
pretty
how,
wild.
That's how Bitcoin works too.
That Curtis Yarvin is the Urbit guy, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And he's appeared in like a totally different context over the last couple of years.
He'll be
at the conference. He's speaking.
He has many hats.
I'm speaking. Yes, he'll be speaking.
What's you know what he's talking
like
about?
This conference?
Yeah, Vegas.
Yeah.
Oh, Vegas. I was like, he's here.
Kirby.
No. He actually comes through here. He did a show with Peter. Four hour marathon with Peter McCormick. And then he went out to London for like a part two as well. And it was another 4 hour marathon.
Is this why Peter's been so radicalized in the recent?
I think that Peter's getting really into really into Curtis, as one does when you start.
It's Curtis Yarvin's top guy.
Curtis Yarvin's top guy. Curtis is great. He comes through a bunch. I'd like to do something with him here. Maybe we'll have him at Hostile Takeover.
That would be fun.
Yeah. That would be really great.
That would be fun.
Potentially.
Curtis, if you're listening, I'll shoot you a
message. Speaking of which, if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, what is it, 27th?
Hostile Takeover.
Are you selling
Monday
additional tickets?
What?
We have them tranched out.
Are you selling tickets to
No, we did the thing where you raise the prices with each tranche. We just didn't tell people we were gonna do that.
Are you
we did it in the past and we're just like, oh, people should expect this.
Yeah.
You're grifting on top of the grift.
There's a new tranche.
Griftception.
At higher premium prices.
Premium.
Get your premium tickets.
Are you doing the school bus again?
No, we're not doing the school bus. We're taking over Tao Nightclub, which is
the greatest dive bar in Vegas.
James O'Beirne is going to be DJing on like one of the best sound systems in the country.
Dang.
It's going to be weird.
Dude, but he won't play Blade.
Like, so the story behind
every time I make a request, he loves when I go up during his set and request track by Blade.
The story behind Hostile Takeover, it started during the Bitcoin conference in Nashville.
I think you got to go back. I think the Max Club Deuce Party was like the precursor to that.
The very first thing that PubKey ever did was with Marty and TFTC. We hosted a pop-up at Max Club Deuce, which is the oldest dive bar in Miami. Mm-hmm. And the capacity there is about 80 people. It's a very small dive bar. It's amazing.
Can smoke
cigarettes inside. You got a 2-for-1 special from 6 a.m. until like 2 p.m. It's a shady place for sunny people. And it's just like one of my favorite bars on the planet. But we did this thing. We had matches, the original PubKey matches, and it had like a cat on it. These are collector's items at this point. And, you know, Marty and I were handing out matchbooks during the Bitcoin conference, and we're doing what? And at Beefsteak, yeah, that's right. And we're like, yeah, we're doing a PubKey pop-up, you know, swing through. Nobody was really there. And a good friend of mine came in, Shaw, and he was early and it was empty and he was really nervous because the bouncer didn't know anything about that. He presented his like matchbook. And he's just like, what the fuck is that? Like, yeah, go inside. He's like, Thomas, the bouncer does not know about the matchbooks. Because we were telling people, this is how you get in. You have to show the matchbook. We started laughing. Fast forward a couple of hours and the line, we had like 400 people on a line all the way to like Washington. It's on Collins Place and it like wrapped around the block. And the bouncer comes over. He's like, Thomas, like, you know, we got like a lot of people here. What do you want me to do? I was like, yeah, great. Like, let him in. And he's like, no, you don't understand. Like, come here. Like, look at this line. I was like, oh, yeah. Only let people in with the matchbox. It was like full circle. But it started there. And then we did Hostile Takeover. And if you say it fast enough, it sounds like a hostile takeover. Mm-hmm. And in our third year, the joke is paying off because the Bitcoin conference wants it to be part of the conference. So it'll be at the Venetian at Tao Nightclub Monday, April 27th from 1 to 6 p.m., which gives you more than enough time to get to Beefsteak at 6:30 afterwards. So, and if we have critical mass that have tickets to both, we'll probably get like a party bus with stripper poles. No strippers though.
Smart.
Yeah.
Family man.
Yeah. You know.
Strippers.
But if you want to strip, like you can.
And we're going for a medieval vibe.
With that.
A medieval vibe. This hot style takeover.
Yeah, there's going to be a medieval theme. We got a lot of Jerk. What do we got?
There's a knight.
A knight.
Medieval helmets, okay. Yeah.
any battle axes?
Weapons are hard.
Shields?
Yeah.
Defensive only?
Yeah.
Chainmail?
Christian iconography.
Very Crusades.
Love that.
What else we have? A bagpiper.
There's a bagpiper.
We got comedians. We got music. We're gonna have the like rotating couch. This year it's Pub Key, RHR on stage. There'll be chairs. We can find a couch.
Tape a bunch of chairs Bugle. Together.
And then
the
Bugle Boys are going to be like the old critics in The Muppets. And they'll be mic'd up just heckling like the rotation of guests that we have. And, you know, obviously Matt, Marty and I. We've been trying to get the Bugle to focus on Marty and I because it doesn't work so well with Matt. He takes it personally.
No. This thing is back to Nashville 2 years ago. When you hired a roast comedian and then hid on the other side of the stage. And we got roasted while you were sitting behind him.
Matt did that to himself. If you show a roast comedian that you are angry or hurt by anything they're saying, they're going to dial in. You become the guy.
What did he call me? Like a red barbered bush?
Barbara Bush. Yeah. Look at this Barbara Bush motherfucker.
I think I was wearing the shirt on stage.
You did turn into a lobster, though. It was stressful. And that year, it was sponsored by HRF. He came out and he goes, "Good afternoon, Bitcoin F words."
And there was a child in the
audience. And it's like brought to you by HRF in the background. And I was just like, fuck. But yeah, that happened.
It happened.
It was fun. You know, it worked out. It was fun. The series continues.
That was a great venue. I mean, the towel compared to that venue is going to be very different. Yeah.
Very different. We usually do it in dive bars. I don't love Vegas. It's really hard to book stuff and pull off these parties in Vegas because.
Yeah.
You got like unions, you got lots of different things that make Vegas difficult. But I'm super optimistic on Tao. I think this is going in the right direction.
They want their pound of flesh on everything.
Yeah, a lot of middlemen.
Yeah.
A lot of middlemen in Vegas. Yeah. I've heard there are rumors that it's the last year in Vegas.
Coming back to New York.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know where they're going.
What's up, freaks? This rip is brought to you by good friends at CrowdHealth. I've been a happy CrowdHealth member for almost 5 years now. My wife and I have had two children while we've been on CrowdHealth, and I actually just got the last bill for our third child funded. It was $6,157. CrowdHealth negotiated down to $2,309, and we only paid $500. The rest was crowdfunded by the CrowdHealth Network. If you're sick of health insurance premiums and having to pay deductibles and getting ripped off at the hospital, join CrowdHealth. It's an alternative way to pay for your healthcare. It's not health insurance. It's crowdfunded healthcare. As you can tell, they negotiate prices for you. You pay in cash. It's much cheaper. Overall, we're much happier. They have incredible perks. Go to joincrowdhealth.com/TFTC to sign up. 5 years on CrowdHealth, not looking back. Joincrowdhealth.com/TFTC. Use the promo code TFTC. Once you set up your account, you're going to get $99 a month for your subscription for the first 3 months.
What's up, freaks? When you take Bitcoin seriously, you start with custody. You want to control your keys, avoid single points of failure, and make sure your savings cannot disappear because you or someone else screwed up. That is what Unchained has been focused on since 2016. Unchained is the leader in collaborative multi-sig custody and Bitcoin financial services that keep you in control. They secure over $12 billion in Bitcoin for more than 12,000 clients. That means about one out of every 200 Bitcoin sits inside an Unchained vault. Their model is simple. You hold two keys, they hold one key. And it always takes two keys to move Bitcoin, meaning their single key can't access your Bitcoin on its own. Just resilient, shared custody that gives you institutional-grade security while keeping you sovereign. Unchained also lets you trade straight from your vault, access Bitcoin-backed commercial loans, open a Bitcoin IRA where you hold your own keys, and set up personal, business, trust, or retirement vaults. They even offer inheritance solutions built for long-term hodlers. Or opt for the highest level private client service with Unchained Signature and get a dedicated account manager, discounted trading fees, exclusive access to events and features, and much, much more. If you want a partner that helps you secure and grow your Bitcoin without giving up control, go to unchained.com and use the code TFTC10 at checkout to get 10% off your new Bitcoin multisig vault. That's TFTC10 at unchained.com.
Speaking of Solana, did Joe McCann kill that girl?
Wow. Yeah, that's been what a story.
Yeah,
I don't know.
What are our theories?
I don't know.
He's clearly being extorted. Okay,
I heard this theory.
Hello, you can bribe the police constable for about what did Arthur Hayes say? A bushel of coconuts.
Oh man, that was an all-time quote in Antigua.
No, the Seychelles.
Yeah, but no, Seychelles. Yeah, Seychelles. This is Tanzania though. Like, let's
It's I don't know if it's different.
Totally different.
Yeah.
It does look pretty strange. His profile picture is not helping.
Yeah, I did see. There was like a tweet about it and he flipped it immediately. So he's paying attention to the Twitter noise. I don't know.
He has his phone? I thought he's in jail.
I have no idea what's going on.
Where'd you hear that?
I don't know. I haven't been following it that closely.
I don't think he's in jail at all.
Has Dan Held commented on this yet? Wasn't he a partner at Asymmetric?
What does Dan have to do with this?
Yeah, or
he's a partner at Asymmetric.
I think he raised like a DeFi fund with him.
We might have to cut this part.
All speculation.
Hey, we don't cut here.
Spurious speculation.
Yeah. Joe, Dan, Ashley, if you're listening, come on the pod. Come to Hot Style Takeover.
It is terrible. Not to make light of this, but it is a crypto saga. And I hope that it is an extortion scheme because that would probably be the best outcome here.
Yes. No. Favorite crypto saga of all time, though.
That would be less.
I mean, it's up there.
No, like, not this one. What is your favorite?
Less morbid than murder.
What is my favorite crypto saga?
That's such a good question.
Who is the one? What was he? Was he a Solana dev or Ethereum dev? Or he said the CIA? My girlfriend's like a spook, and she ratted this.
Oh, it was the MakerDAO finder.
MakerDAO.
The guy who then like, yeah.
Like they're running a pedo island down here. Like,
Swalwell?
I'm not.
Nikolai was his name? I forget what it is. But yeah, he tweeted like, my girlfriend is a spook. They're on to me. Like if I die. Yes. And he was like, building like a, decentralized stablecoin.
Yeah.
And, like he died like 24 hours later.
Yeah.
Is Swalwell done?
Who?
Swalwell.
The Eric California guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Pang.
Is he dead?
No. Is he done?
Yeah. Yeah. He resigned.
Is he near to return?
Yeah. He'll land on like a private equity board or something. Probably.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
How many?
Favorite crypto saga. One of my favorite stories ever is how Steve Bannon created Ethereum. is one of my all-time favorites. So Steve Bannon, Brock Pierce, before Bitcoin, had a World of Warcraft mining operation. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And that caused Blizzard Activision to brick the in-game economy and fix it because it was really bastardizing everything. Wow. If you remember, Vitalik was in college and his account got bricked and he got really into Bitcoin because of that.
He nerd raged because they nerfed his like sport of Excalibur or something like
had.
That.
That's all he had.
And he founded Bitcoin Magazine right after that.
For sure.
But, did you see the Bannon Epstein fit pic?
No.
It's really good. Bannon's my fashion icon, by the way.
It is pretty awesome. He's really into utility pockets, a lot of cargo pants.
Favorite? I feel like there's so many, and I'm. It's been, crypto sagas. It's like there's a new one every month.
Big Vern. That was a big one.
Big Vern was insane. Oh, the guy that faked his death in India because he got diarrhea. He had Crohn's or whatever.
Yeah,
the Canadian.
The quadriga.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
That was a really good one.
He died of Crohn's disease.
So racist. I have Crohn's disease and I went to India and pooped myself to death.
And then like the Bitcoin just kind of subtly moved, didn't they? And I was like, what happened here?
That was a crazy one.
I mean, newer ones, the government contracting the security of the Strategic Reserve to some contractor, and the Sun just like ran off with what, like 40 billion in wallets. Was that a wig he was wearing when they took him in?
Where are the servers? Who was that? Oh yeah, the professor lie that's like whatever his name is, it's gone viral on YouTube. That Jang, he's like, the thing about Bitcoin is like, who's running the servers? Like, I'm running a server. Like, you're running a server.
You know what? You got us, dude.
hands up. Nobody's ever asked that in 15 years.
Like, who can you believe? Because like that guy's, I mean, hand up, guilty. Like I've shared some of the stuff. Like, oh, this guy's making a lot of sense. And you hear something like that, you're like, oh, this is completely retarded.
What's the law? Is it like
jailman amnesia?
Yeah, jailman amnesia. I know. There's too much stuff like that. I see that a lot.
I'm sorry. What is jailman amnesia?
It's when you read something in a paper that you're like an expert on, some journalist is writing about, and you're like, this is completely wrong. And then you flip the page and you read another story, and you're like, oh, well, this is a good story. It's like something. Like,
I have that often.
I haven't heard that.
Working with Claude, when working with AI. Where it's like, look, we're doing like stuff that's not my area of expertise. Like, man, this sounds like you're really on top of it. And then it comes to like a lightning thing or something where I'm like an expert. And it's like, well, you're like 80% of the way there, right? There's some like really, really crucial misunderstandings that are fucking up this whole response.
I mean, this is important.
Maybe I should get the booster.
This is Didn't get the first two, but the booster. Why not? Good point in the conversation to warn people out there about AI psychosis. These things are tools meant to help you do things. Do not try to befriend them and have them be your life coach or help you discover breakthroughs in quantum physics.
Churches and pubs.
Yeah.
Long churches and pubs. Everybody's going to get the psychosis.
Well, that's
psychosis.
When we're going to do like one-on-one, that's what we want to talk about. Like
yeah.
the growth of the trend of in-person connection
yeah.
growing, moving forward.
So important. For sure.
Third places.
Love those
things.
They are really important. It's easy to make fun of it because it has become sort of just like a talking point in a deck, in a pub key deck, as we go out to raise more financing.
You're instrumentalizing and Redditifying just normal human relations. Everything Lindy, everything pure, you're perverting it.
Not everybody can just
to sell it to your investors.
Not everybody can just go like to the woods and work on an art project.
Repent, like, repent, dude. Dude, you have no idea the type of art projects that I work on in the woods.
The world of senior art.
I mean, you have a very famous piece.
I was milling a large oak tree the other day.
What are you milling it down to? What are you
into oak tree slabs, oak slabs.
Nice. Are you gonna sell those on Etsy?
No, I'm gonna make my wife a patio table.
Oh, that's nice.
That's nice. That's very thoughtful.
Because I'm trad.
Yeah.
Cool. Are you gonna lacquer it?
No.
Raw oak.
No. I don't rock with lacquer. I like tongue oil.
What's tongue oil?
From what kind of tongue?
T-U-N-G. It's a nut.
Okay.
T-I-L. Nut called tongue.
What books do you read to learn about milling down an oak tree?
Dude, you know, it's...
Fuck. It's the worst question you could have asked.
The Amish have spilled a lot of ink about woodworking, man.
Have you seen the meme about the Amish and the Mormons?
Dude, they're
becoming majority population of the U.S.
I know. We're going to have to figure that one out.
Are you kidding?
You're not a big fan of Mennonites or the Latter-day Saints?
The last line of defense. This is the counterbalance.
Yeah, we need them.
My goodness.
Yeah. As a Pennsylvanian, I love the Amish. You know, you get a Reading terminal. They come with their... with their goods, their big goods.
You know, Urbit Systems Technical Journal is published by a Mormon. So,
okay, that's good. So you're in there.
He's going to give me
with the Amish.
He's going to give me a a Lockheed Martin jetpack. It's going to be awesome.
How do we get the Mormons into Bitcoin though?
They have like they have $1 trillion sovereign wealth fund.
How is Salt Lake?
Sorry, Amish. How do we get the Amish? Yeah, the Mormons.
They don't like electricity. So
wait, hold on.
How is Salt Lake City not the biggest Urbit meetup?
What was that? I didn't know that. The Mormons
the Amish.
Have $1 trillion sovereign wealth.
Oh, the Mormons do.
Right.
Is that? They own like 10% of Florida.
Seriously?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm asking what is the Salt Lake meetup scene?
No idea.
How is it not the biggest meetup in the country?
Could you imagine a pub key Salt Lake City? It would be the worst.
You'd have to sell soda.
You'd sell dirty sodas.
3-2 beer. Yeah. I was just out in Park City. Which is lovely. Like, it's nice.
No, they're very strict out there.
So my wife and I just parked at High West Distillery, and we just, like, are peppering the bartender with questions and, like, how everything works and all the rules and everything they have to go through. They're okay because they don't really get pop-ins. They make so much money. But, like, a normal bar and, like, the amount of shit that they have to deal with, you know, the LDS, like, you know, rules and regulations.
They have, they have the things on the bottles that, like, limit.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Everything's measured pour.
Yeah.
Yeah. We do free pour here in New York City.
Oh, there's a limiter?
Yes.
In the bottle pour?
Yeah.
Wow.
In college, we called those the SIGEP caps.
SIGEP? Oh, SIGEP was very responsible about what they were feeding.
Just kind of weenies, you know, just a little lame.
Weenies. I haven't heard the term weenies in a while.
It's accurate for them. It's apropos.
Yeah.
That makes it sound like they raped someone one time and got told by the administration they had to put those things on.
That is an interpretation. I don't know if it's most people's interpretation of the comment.
I mean, the...
Can't publish any of this.
Oh, yes. We are. We're all prepared.
I feel like what frat would voluntarily impose that on themselves.
Exactly.
Except by the administration as,
no, it's just
as punishment.
Like, no. They just like, we're kind of weenies and they like the really candle their booze.
Or maybe they were, they didn't have a lot of dues. Maybe they were trying to run lean, you know?
No, they were.
Save on costs.
So a fun story about Texas SIGEP is everybody's familiar with Enron, right? So the Enron chief accounting officer at one point was the president of Texas SIGEP. And it just so happened that during his tenure as presidency, the SIGEP house burned to the ground and they got a big insurance payout and built a beautiful new mansion in West Campus that like vaulted them up a tier to like the tops of the fraternity leagues. And, you know, whatever, like 20 years later, the guy's in federal prison for, you know, the Enron Ponzi scheme. So
he got
how did the fire start?
SIGEP got that good insurance money before they fell.
They did.
How did the
did he get a pardon?
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
I mean, well, I don't know. I mean, this was like pre-internet. So, you know, something happened and it was just kind of like,
there an Enron? What was the name?
What was what name?
The accountant.
I don't know. You can Google it. It's
Arthur Anderson.
Yeah.
Skillin.
I think Skillin was the CEO.
He definitely got a pardon. I think it was W. At the
yeah.
Who's the Enron of Bitcoin?
Enron of Bitcoin.
Is Stretch a Ponzi scheme?
I don't think so. I don't really like. I really don't because it's so over collateralized.
CoffeeZilla just did a thing. It's a Ponzi scheme.
Is it the Swan Run?
What?
No, I mean, I think it was FTX. Like, I think we already had it, Enron. Because FTX was like deliberately, like they were taking people's Bitcoin, not counting as Bitcoin, selling it for Solana, and, you know, using customer deposits.
Could you imagine how pissed off SBF is in jail right now?
Oh my God,
with Anthropic. He had 7% of Anthropic.
So
it's like
all you had to do.
It was almost crime season.
It was almost what?
It was almost crime season.
Yeah, he just had to stay alive for like 6 more months.
Yeah. Where are
that's
the three
still on the FTX
where are the
book?
Three arrows guys?
No, they sold in the bankruptcy.
You know, like I think
offloaded it.
Dude, it was Kyle and
Kyle went a little crazy. Kyle tried to make a reappearance. Oh. It was a little
he was like
yo, shout out there. Phillips Academy.
Him and Tobacco. Sam Tobacco, Tobacco.
Yeah, he skated. Yeah,
he those three got out.
Yeah,
Tobacco, of like the entire like
bought his
shit
boat
show.
And just I think the speculation was that he was the guy that like he flipped informant first.
Yeah.
And so that's why he got out.
Certainly looks like it.
Certainly
socks
looks like it. Yeah. Because it's like
on the boat.
He was the guy doing, I think, most of the trades. So he was, you would imagine, probably aware of all of the crime.
And he wasn't very humble about it. He's like on boats. And,
yeah.
What became of the tungsten cube? I'm still waiting for the auction.
Oh, the like massive one?
The 14 incher. This is still in a shipping container, presumably somewhere.
We'd have to ask Nick Carter that. He's probably the one that would know where Eric. Yeah.
I think I spoke to Nick about this recently. I don't think he knows.
Hmm. How heavy is a 14-inch tungsten cube?
Dude, it unironically, I think it weighs 2 tons. I think
what?
I think it like weighs or half a ton. I think it weighs almost as much as a car. Unironically.
That's
my favorite part of that story is how they just went to Margaritaville and like
in the Bahamas.
That was their hangout.
Yeah, they ate like 10 pounds of shrimp every night like that.
What are you having against the tiki aesthetic?
Huh? I don't have anything. I just think it's really funny that they were to like Margaritaville in the Bahamas and that was their like local hang. There were a couple of times where you have like a tourist or somebody that's just like, what is happening here? Why are they making out of the bar on amphetamines?
Yeah, what are those patches on their back?
What do you think Pub Key is?
Not that, hopefully. 1,700 pounds. Huh?
1,700 pounds. Yeah, like I said, a small car.
All right, there we go.
Like a, what is it? A Fit?
A Fit? It's probably heavier than a Fit.
Is it a Honda Fit?
Honda Fit is 1,700 pounds.
Will Stansel's car, by the way.
Man, what a just profile and courage
that fit
that guy is.
I mean, the Will Stansel show is one of the funniest things of last year.
It's one of the funniest things to watch.
It is. I mean, all the AI. I mean, you're talking about AI slop.
Dude, that's not slop. Unironically, AI generated content is a renaissance right now. Okay?
It is.
There's
nothing better.
I mean,
what you're gonna pretend like anything made by HBO or Netflix right now,
dude? The Iran
surpasses the average Anon AI slot.
Oh, dude, video, the Chud video,
the PSYOP anime.
Oh, PSYOP anime is incredible. Who's making? Somebody's making like the Chud series with Gab AI. The most recent one where the waifu like brings him into the comic book and they run. He saves her life. That was a good one,
dude.
Iran, like the Lego rap.
Amazing. AI has
geopolitical AI generated shit talk.
It's completely saved. It's saved the canon,
frankly.
Yeah,
I would say so.
Canon with one N. Well, I guess two ends.
The canon of the West.
Love it. Yeah.
The canon of the Western canon. The city of New York City.
New York. Yeah.
Shout out Noah Kuman.
It feels good to be back. Back in New York. Thank you for having this bar. It's always fun coming here.
Great time. This third place. I had two places for so long and I didn't know where else to go.
Such an asshole.
I need something more.
A place that's not work.
Fucking bartenders.
It's not
home. Not work. It's not home.
Something in between.
You know, it's a place where socioeconomic barriers melt away. Yeah. Where you can have somebody that works in sanitation next to a private equity fund manager. It doesn't matter. They're going to talk about something. Instead of sports ball, we talk about Bitcoin here. Dude, it's really fun.
It's really fun.
How's it going in DC? What's the conversation?
Dude, didn't you ban Mr. G?
No, I love Mr. G. What are you kidding? He was like one of our very first supporters.
I thought someone named Mr. G got banned.
No, of course not. Mr. G's the best.
That's fake news.
DC's going really well. We're pretty fast out of the gate down there. I would say that PubKey is legitimately cool in DC, which is kind of a low bar because it's DC.
Very popular with the Cato Institute.
Big fish, little pond.
But yeah,
that's a great place.
We have a really cool spot. It's it's a palace. It's six times the size of PubKey NYC. So we're about 2,000 square feet here. It's like 12,000 in DC.
Wow.
And it's not like we're not like super high touch with like reservations. There's no minimum if you book a big group and stuff like that, which causes a lot of people to use a space like that in the neighborhood that we're in. Like that doesn't really exist. So that's cultivated a lot of really cool, just like folks that come out.
When's the restaurant opening?
Restaurant's opening soon. Restaurant was temporarily tabled for reasons in early January that we're not going to get into on this podcast. But we were able to, I would say, mitigate the fallout from that event pretty quickly because DC's been fast out of the gate, thankfully. And it's back on the table, the dimly lit Chop House.
Don't worry. They flash froze all the rats that they found.
Well, the rats were a different story.
We're not going to let the rats go to waste. Don't worry.
Just a little rat.
Just a little rat.
Pumpkin hot dogs. No rat. All right, maybe a little rat.
Kidding. The flavor. You got to have something to set yourself
apart. What's going to happen in November when the Republicans lose majority? You're going to be
look. It's going to be really interesting. Like we have.
No, I rock with Elizabeth Warren. She said, keep the IRS direct pay open.
Okay.
Like, that's it. That's what it takes to buy you off.
Like you need to be able to just interface directly with your government. The fact that it's intermediated by Intuit is something that should be. That's a whole bent and a half right there.
Did you see Bessent came out and was like recommending the people.
Yeah. Stop. Change your withholding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stop withholding.
I don't really know what that means.
You're going to get a pay bump.
What did he mean by this?
I don't know. But people are going to do that and then they're going to get their tax bill next year and they're not going to have the cash.
Get whomped. Yeah. Like, that would be the worst run.
Oh, I listened to the Treasury sector trade. Fuck.
They want 30K. I don't have that.
No, that's true. You used to have more access. You could show up at the White House and like wait to talk to the president. Like, you know, as soon as like Teddy Roosevelt finished like boxing his wife in the basement, like you could actually just like talk to him about some like dispute you're having with a neighboring farmer or something. That's America.
Dude, don't you?
That's America.
Yep.
Don't you go acting funny about muscular Christianity.
Dude, I love Teddy Roosevelt. Big Teddy Roosevelt.
I think he might be my favorite.
Andrew Jackson guy.
It's one of the all.
Jackson was one of, unhinged. Yes.
One of the all times.
Like, he was great.
Dude. I mean, but he was like, no, you're absolutely not fucking having a central bank on my watch.
Yeah.
Like, what? The man. Dude. Yeah. Right? Two of the best.
I read into like his early life for the first time.
Insane person.
Who?
Andrew Jackson's?
Yeah. His like mom died early and then he went to the Civil War at like 14.
Old Hickory.
Yeah.
Old Hickory. That was his nickname.
Yeah. The Battle of Louisiana or New Orleans led that.
Was that the one that continued? Like the war was over, but it continued for another like day or two?
He had a bullet in his lung the latter half of his life.
And he dueled. Are we bringing duels back?
Teddy Roosevelt got hit too.
During a speech.
During the speech, and he finished
it. Finished the speech.
Because he was high on cocaine.
Really? How much cocaine were they doing back then?
So that was the treatment for asthma. He had very, very bad asthma from a child.
Mm. Same.
And they used to treat it with cocaine. And he got through that speech for a reason. You can get shot in the chest and you can finish.
It's a miracle.
It still works that way? All right, there we go.
Greg finishes on cocaine all the time.
Asthma. Bringing back duels would be interesting.
Yeah. It would be interesting.
Particularly in Congress. Although I feel like, you know, that's when we learned that like AOC is a super quick draw. Mm. Just like unstoppable.
Yeah. Pistolera.
Well, for being...
That is equality.
Yeah. It's
a handgun. That's true equality.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's the same.
Yeah.
Behind the barrel.
Yeah, we get off the rails here. Thomas and I originally were going to talk.
You didn't have AOC's draw capability.
No, on now your, that you're, now that we're talking about it, like I'm actually curious. Like,
yeah. I mean, what do you think about that? Women's suffrage and all.
What's that?
What do you think about that?
How often do you talk about the Longhouse theory on TFTC?
So I hear explain the Longhouse theory to people.
You can't do that. I mean, look, early in America, most of the men of letters were trying to actually trump up their native.
What are men of letters?
Like people that can read.
People who are online.
Okay.
The people who were online back then. They were all endeavoring to inflate their Native American Indian heritage. They were all boasting that they had, you know, one quarter. Like Elizabeth Warren, Lindy, hello, you know, she gets it. They were trying to do this. And so one of the features of that culture is that there were two places where people lived in their villages. There was the hut where the warrior men lived, and there was the longhouse that housed everyone else.
Are you saying that the longhouse was the third place?
It was the political concentration of power.
The longhouse was the cathedral, yep. to use the Moldbuggian term to transmogrify the term there.
What?
Does that answer your question?
Sure.
So in the longhouse, it's the rule of the women. It's the rule of the old. It's the rule of the, you know, the non high T male warrior male. So it's you can be ruled by one or the other.
Yeah. And so that's the meme, the longhouse meme.
That's the longhouse meme.
This is the product.
So when Thomas says something that's so utterly longhoused, I just sometimes I'm taken aback.
I live with a lot of women. But you also have sort of like weak men in government that created a lot of
testosterone's in free fall. You have a lot of wars. You have World War I, World War II. That these
Desert Storm, can't forget that one. People forget about that one.
The other wars.
Jesus. This really went off the rails. Was there anything else you wanted to
hear? No, this has been perfect. Okay, I think
this is a real palate cleanser for the timeline.
This is exactly. You know, if you just wanted to tune in to a podcast and just hear what the boys are buzzing about.
Exactly. This is the one.
Welcome to Pubkey.
this is what's happening at Pubkey on a Thursday afternoon.
After Up Next.
It's actually pretty on brand for us. This is kind of mostly on brand. Like. Yeah.
Wide range of views. Thank you, gentlemen. Peace and love.
Thank you for listening to this episode of TFTC. If you've made it this far, I imagine you got some value out of the episode. If so, please share it far and wide with your friends and family. We're looking to get the word out there. Also, wherever you're listening, whether that's YouTube, Apple, Spotify, make sure you like and subscribe to the show. And if you can leave a rating on the podcasting platforms, that goes a long way. Last but not least, if you want to get these episodes a day early and ad-free, make sure you download the Fountain podcasting app. You can go to fountain.fm to find that. $5 a month gets you every episode a day early, ad-free. Helps the show, gives you incredible value. So please consider subscribing via Fountain as well. Thank you for your time, and until next time.